But first of all, another woman of great importance, and that, of course, is my friend Laura Tingle, who is now taking us into the talking about the fourth week in the election campaign. Laura, you made a very cogent point, which I'd like to discuss, when you said that when Labor came to office from opposition, Whitlam, Hawke, Rudd, there was a feeling that the swing was on. Not so this time. Why not?
Well, I think a couple of things, Philip. For starters, we've had this sort of real sort of static position in the polls for months, of about 48-52 in Labor's favour. So the government's sort of been behind and hasn't been able to come back. And it's one of those elections where it's, I think, still predominantly a referendum on the coalition if Labor just doesn't scare voters away, which it doesn't seem to be doing. But the main reason I said that, and I wasn't saying the swing isn't on as a prediction of what's going to happen, it was more reflecting that sort of sense of inevitability or excitement that we did see in those earlier changes of government. Because we've got so many different factors going on in this election campaign, it's not just Labor versus the coalition, it's all these independents, it's the demise of the Nationals, it's One Nation and Clive Palmer. And it's created sort of all these little sort of swirling whirlwinds around individual seats, which I think have really changed the dynamics. I mean, I think the rise of the independents is going to be fascinating to watch. You know, if you've got independents running a lot against a lot of the Nationals in the bush, and really weird outcomes like the possibility of Susan Ley, who's got a 20% margin, losing her seat to the local mayor. So that's why I think there is this sense that if you talk to people in politics, they say, yes, that it doesn't feel like the swing is on. That doesn't mean Labor isn't going to win or that the coalition is going to win, but there's not that sort of real sense of rush that you've had in the past.
Mind you, some of the independents are simply major parties in unconvincing disguise. I'm thinking here of Clive Palmer. Of course, he insists that he's going to gain government in his own right.
Well, and why wouldn't he, really? But yes, no, so he's, I think without a doubt, he is very much, you know, his history is right at the centre of the Queensland LNP, the coalition that they formed up there some years ago. So he's a bit in wolf in the clothing, but a lot of them are really interesting candidates, Philip. I think, and I think the thing that's interesting to me about it is that the role of and perceptions of independence have changed so much since everybody was vaguely appalled by the so-called Three Amigos in 2010. And a group of 13 of them, which includes two Senate candidates, have just released a video which basically says, look, we're all trying to get the same aims, but we're all independents. And what we're going to promise to do is to cooperate, to share resources. We reserve the right to disagree with each other, but we will try to make a positive contribution to the parliament and not be hidebound by political parties, ideologies and factions and things like that. It's a much more positive view of independence, I think, than we've seen for a very long time. It's not just people raging against the machine. I think they're sort of putting forward their own positive agenda.
I'm talking to Laura Tingle, Chief Political Correspondent, 7:30. Did you take your Aspidistra to Queensland last night for the Labor Party launch, or view it from afar?
They didn't let the Aspidistra on the plane, Philip, so I just had to be there in full view. I went up for the launch on Sunday, which was, it's sort of interesting, Philip. The launches come sort of, they sort of fade and come back a bit in the sense of their sort of grandeur. And this was a sort of quite a small room, not an incredibly large crowd, a flat floor, all sort of quite crammed in. But it was interesting. I mean, it's a bit silly, isn't it, having a campaign launch 2 weeks before Election Day, and even sillier doing it 1 week before Election Day, which is what the coalition will do next Sunday. But they are the opportunity for the party in question to crystallise their message and rally the troops and all those sorts of things.
I didn't mean to talk over you. Look, I was quite impressed with Bits and Pieces. I thought Chloe did a good job in speaking for her husband, but I'm not sure it was the world's greatest idea to have Kevin there sitting next to Julia when we know that they don't really get on, and perhaps that just reminded people of Labor's darker days.
It might have, Philip, but of course this is what happened in 2007. You remember that was the first time we really saw Bob Hawke and Paul Keating clutching hands together after all the
unpleasantness
of the 1990s.
Yeah,
that's right. And there's obvious political purpose in this. The whole message of the launch was about unity, about teamwork. The entire shadow ministry was on the stage. You had all the previous leaders. And, of course, all these women, Anastasia Palaszczuk, Penny Wong, Tanya Plibersek, Chloe Shorten, and it was all just really setting up to make the point when Scott Morrison launches on Sunday. And he, of course, is in this terrible position where a lot of his ministers are either fighting for their seats or they're in witness protection, as they say. and people have been asking him and others today, so will Tony Abbott be at your launch? Will Malcolm Turnbull be at your launch? And it's all a bit awkward. So, and of course, there aren't really all that many women he can point to. And he was telling Lee Sales on 7:30 tonight that he was going to be doing a completely different sort of launch and would just be sort of focusing on the issues at hand, which is understandable. But I think the whatever Scott Morrison does will be fascinating to watch, because it has to be a reflection of those constraints on him throughout this election campaign, which mean that for all intents and purposes, he's more or less been campaigning by himself because there aren't a lot of other options out there for carrying the burden of getting the coalition back into government.
It's interesting to see Keating thoroughly enjoying the limelight again, and of course being very naughty in that speech he gave afterwards, or the interview rather he gave afterwards.
Speech is probably a better description in a way, Philip. It was one of the more hilarious moments. But yes, Paul Keating in his most colourful ways, being provocative about China and a whole range of other issues, and I think it was interesting. I was quite close to where he was doing that interview with Andrew Probyn and Jane Norman from the ABC, doing some other interviews, and there was a sort of a halo of the adoring around him, watching him go through his paces.
You know, it's interesting. I well remember when Keating was so on the nose within the Labor Party after his very significant loss that he wasn't even invited to a subsequent party launch. And there he is now, absolutely necessary. And I understand, because I miss this bit, I understand that another Labor leader appeared in a wheelchair.
Yes, it was one of those. Of course, they always control these things mightily, Philip. And so the media was sort of let into the room after everybody had sat down. And because it was a flat room, it was hard to see who was up the front. But during the course of the event, it emerged that Bill Hayden was there. And of course, he's also now sort of completely in the pantheon as the guy who brought Labor's policies back and brought the policy back to the edge of victory before he basically stood aside for Bob Hawke to confirm and make sure that that Labor would win in 1983. So he was greeted with much affection and fondness on the day.
Now, would you do a quick review of the PM on 7:30 tonight?
Look, I think the three things that we got out of that were that he did admit that carbon emissions had risen during the term of the government. He did admit that, no, we weren't actually in surplus yet, but there was some rather interesting exercise in we are in, will be surplus. I couldn't quite follow it. And he also admitted that people on the top income bracket would be getting an $11,000 tax cut under the coalition. But essentially, he was pretty much just going through his lines, and you know, which is that the economy is good and therefore you should re-elect us. He didn't really take us anywhere we hadn't been before, I don't think.
Now, don't worry about the aspidistra. I promise I'm watering it and giving it some of those little pellets it seems to like. In fact, it snaps at them. It's a very hungry plant. Thank you very much for that, Laura. Laura Tingle, Chief Political Correspondent for 7:30.